all the rest of your days could be prosperous and successful. Can you believe that? And think about this. The accumulation of prosperous and successful days will result in a prosperous and successful life. But you know, we don't live life all at one time. We live it one day at a time. Colin Powell said this, "There are no secrets to success. It's the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure." Sometimes we don't think about failure being associated with success, but many times it is. It's how we handle our failures that help us to succeed. Abraham Lincoln said, "Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other. If you do not believe you can be prosperous and successful, it doesn't matter what anyone else says to you or believes for you. And vice versa, if you believe you can be prosperous and successful, it doesn't matter what anyone else says to you." The common line in both of those is, it really doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It's all about what you believe, because that's what you will accomplish in life. Now, this is really brief, and if you don't hold on and catch it, you will miss it. But I promise you, when you leave, you can leave prosperous and successful, and you will have the three components that you need to do that for the rest of your life. We're going to be reading in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. But before we do that, I just want to kind of bring you up to where we're at in this scripture. Moses had died. And if you know Moses and the story of Moses, he'd been leading the Israelites around, and he had come to the place where he was going to get to take them into the promised land. And God would not allow it because of some things that Moses had done beforehand. And so Joshua was the next generation, the next great leader that was going to take the Israelites into the land that God had promised him. It says Joshua was anointed because Moses laid his hands on him, and he passed that anointing on. Now, can you imagine being under a spiritual giant like that who has towered, and then all of a sudden, it's your opportunity to lead, and it's your opportunity to shine? Well, as we read in Joshua 1, it starts off in verse 6 saying, "Be strong and courageous." And God tells Joshua, "Do not be afraid." And then if you skip down a couple more lines, God tells Joshua again, "Do not be terrified." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I get an instruction, the two things I don't want to hear is, "Don't be afraid," because all of a sudden you're going to start thinking, what is there to be afraid of? Something is going to get me. And then it gets worse, "Do not be terrified." And there is a big difference between just being afraid and being terrified. I have been a little bit afraid, and then I have been really terrified. But in the middle of that, in Joshua 1:8, God says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Isn't that wonderful? That is good news. That's something to shout about. That's something that we can get happy about. I want to give you two definitions. The first one is the definition to prosperous. Now, when I think about prosperous, I ain't going to lie to you, I think about a pocket full of money. You know, you're prosperous. I got a pocket full of money. My bank account is fat. You know, prosperous. And whenever you start looking at all the stuff in Hollywood and all those people like making millions of dollars for getting to imagine play games and stuff that we go pay and watch them do all this stuff, you know, and you think about that prosperity and you say, there's no way in this world I will ever reach that. Well, Number one, you're not called to do that, and neither am I. So let me give you the definition of prosperous. Number one, it describes a person or a person's future, but it can apply to anything that's experiencing growth and successful, doing well. Prosperous is a happy word. It means golden, flourishing, and thriving. Now, prosperous is experiencing growth. How many of us in here today can experience a little bit more growth? That's how we're going to start looking at that word. That's how we're going to start seeing it. Experiencing growth. Me and Lori went to Lowe's the other day and we bought some flowers because they were on sale and they were on the rack. And you know, you don't hardly ever buy the flowers on the rack because they're half dead anyway. And they said that you can put them in the sunlight. And I'm going, Lori, at our house in the sunlight, it's 110 degrees. Well, needless to say, the opposite of prosperous is Lori's flowers. They're dead. They're not growing. They're not experiencing growth whatsoever. However, her vegetable garden is very prosperous. It's growing. The okra's already this high. The tomato plants, I can't hardly walk around them. They're so big. The squash plants are like huge. Prosperous, experiencing growth. And the word successful. Successful is having more wins than losses. It's just that simple. It's a word that covers a lot of area, and it generally applies to anything or anyone that ends well. When you see the word successful, and whenever you think of the word successful from now on, think of the word winning. How many of us can stand to be a winner? Every single one of us. Some synonyms for that word successful is undefeated, victorious, fortunate, and productive. So it brings a new light, looking at it in those words, to 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you experience growth, be in health, even as your soul prospers, even as your soul experiences growth. So as our soul grows, so does everything else. As our soul prospers, so does everything else in our life. And we can do three things that will guarantee us prosperity and successfulness. And we can have it in our relationships, we can have it in our finances, and we can have it on our jobs, we can have it whenever we're out playing ball, we can have it whenever I'm out on the farm. We can have it in our life every day, all day. And the truth is, there is always room to grow and improve in our life. So the three practical things that we can do to be prosperous and successful. The first thing is keep this book of the law on your lips. Everybody say, speak it. Speak it. That's right. Speak it. We want to speak this word every day, all day. Every day, all day. Speak it. Luke 6:45 says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I ask you a question, what are you full of? Yeah, because I have been full of a lot of stuff and have been told so. Think about this. If you hang around, you know I'm telling the truth here. If you hang around someone long enough, you'll know what's in their heart. Because you can't keep it hidden in. It starts coming out your mouth. And sometimes it's wonderful stuff. And then other times it's like, oh, you know. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Speak life in every situation you're in. And if you're discouraged and you're beaten down, encourage yourself. Speak life to yourself The psalmist David did that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. When no one else was there to lift him up, he took the opportunity to begin to speak in life to himself and encouraging himself to lift himself up from where he was at. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There are people all around us have needs, and it's important how we speak to those needs that's in their life. It's important how you speak to the needs in your own life. But that word unwholesome means harmful. It means harmful. That's just a simple word, harmful. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's going to harm yourself or harm someone else. Hey, I've had to spank my own mouth because I've done that. Man, I used to be so bad I could cut you in two with my words. God has had to help me with that. And if he can help me, my goodness. You know, I grew up in a family where if you had a cough, you might have cancer. Yeah, that's true. If you had a headache, probably a brain tumor. Hey, I know I'm not the only one that grew up like that. It got to the point to where if I felt bad, I just didn't tell anybody. I just keep it to myself. I'm not telling a soul, you know. So, that was harmful talk. It's like, don't you speak that over me. Don't you put that off on me. You know, you keep that to yourself. No, it's just a little hay fever. It's not lung cancer. Come on. Come on. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives. But those who speak rationally, or irrationally, will come to ruin. How many of you want to have a preserved life? Man, preserved life means that it can last a long time. And it comes from our mouth, our lips. There used to be a saying when Lori and I would go to show our saddlebred horses. We had a horse named Candyman. I love Candyman. And we actually had Candyman Jr. Candyman Sr. was a stud in our barn for a while. He was the coolest horse I've ever seen because whenever you walked by him, he would stick his tongue out. And you would grab his tongue, and you just stand there and hold his tongue. He liked it. It was kind of relaxing. I mean, it was like no one else could say that they've ever done that before. What's Steve doing? Well, he's out in the barn holding that horse's tongue. But right before we would go into the show ring, our trainer would go up to our horse, and he would flip it like on the bottom of his lips, and his lips just blah, 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 blah. And he'd say, loose lips sink ships. Oh, think about that. Loose lips would sink ships. Yeah, it happens. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many of you ever been in a situation to where you've been pushed to the max and you're supposed to say a gentle word? You know what? I've been in that situation and I would much rather bit my bottom lip off. You know? Just bite my tongue off. But that's what the word says, and it works. If you walk into a room of angry people and you carry the love of God in there, there's two things that's going to happen. One, either that room will come into compliance and peace, or they'll hate your guts. There is no in between. Because you know how I know that? Because I used to be in that room, and I would be the one that was angry. And when someone would give that word, that godly word of peace, I would be the one that would hate your guts. You know why? Do you know why? Because I wasn't right with God. I was in rebellion to what God was doing. And I wasn't lining up with what God was wanting to do. And therefore, made it a little bit more difficult for old Steve to jump on board and receive the peace of God. Because, you know, there's that fight inside of us, not wanting to surrender to what the Lord's doing. Proverbs 71:8 says, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." When you can't think of anything to say that you need to say that's good, open your mouth and praise God. Just open your mouth and praise God for the goodness of your life, for the goodness of your day. I had a terrible day last Friday. It was rough. It was just a bad day. Me and Lori, we weren't fighting or fussing or anything, but it was just a bad day, wasn't it? It did. And then we were sitting there looking at the clouds blowing by, and she'd say, "God, you are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. Those clouds are so beautiful. And look, they're calling for rain, but the clouds only come that far, and then they stop, and they go around us. And then they stop again." I mean, we'd done that for 2 hours. By the time she got finished talking, I was better. My day was better. She was speaking life. And sometimes when you don't know what to say and how to pray, Romans 8:26, the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Romans 10:9, I love this scripture. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, as I was praying over that scripture, that's talking about personal salvation, getting right with God. But if I'm right with God and I am saved and Jesus is the ruler of my life, and he is the Lord of my life, then not only is he working in me, but he's working in my situations. Because whenever I made him my Lord, I made him the Lord over my situations. He is the ruler over my situations. And he brings salvation into every area of my life. He brings salvation into my health. He brings salvation into my finances. He brings salvation into my home. He brings salvation into my kids. He brings salvation into my cow because she's mine. And she just had a baby last week, I think. And she's given so much milk, I had to go get 2 more calves to go with her. So now my cow is raising. You talking about the creatures in the of your field being blessed. So you know what that means? That means she's going to make me 3 times the amount of money that she would have with 1. That salvation coming into your life. You may not have a cow. But for me, that's practical. And that's seeing the hand of the Lord working in my life. Now, the second thing we can do to be prosperous is this, and meditate on his word day and night. So we're going to speak it and we're going to think it. All right? We're going to think it. You know, I don't think I'm the only one like this, but you know, sometimes sinful thoughts do enter our mind, like yesterday. See, the bad thing about me is I just tell it. I tell it. The Lord, he made me that way. I can't hold on to it because it says if you confess your sins one to another, he is just and fair. He'll forgive us. Well, Larry, you was at the front of the line yesterday going out to bury your dad at the graveyard. I was at the rear of the line. All right? There was a lot of stuff going on at the back of that line. There was a little black Mazda. This little Mazda. And I was on the phone with Lori. This little black Mazda would come speeding up beside me. And the police were doing a phenomenal job. That line was long. And the police would honk that horn, point at that man, and tell him to pull over. Well, I don't know what was going on with this fella, but he wouldn't do what the police would say. And then I would get so upset. I was not thinking good thoughts about him. He came up beside me and got in front of me. Oh. I wanted to honk my horn so bad, but I knew that wouldn't be right. You know, then I wanted to get up beside him and kind of bump him. But I knew that wouldn't be right. So the whole time I'm talking to Lori going, "I'm sorry, y'all." I was just saying, there is an idiot out here on this highway, and he's being so disrespectful. You know, I should have been praying, "Lord, Nah, that wouldn't have been any better. That would not have been any better. But you know, sometimes these thoughts do go through our mind. And the police did get him, Larry. They made him get off the road. But sometimes we don't have control over the thoughts that enter our mind. However, we are able to take control over those thoughts as they enter our minds. They don't have to stay there. And God's word helps us recognize our thoughts for what they really are and how to act or not act about something. You know what? I've learned in the past 6 months that some of the things I'm in don't need action. Sometimes I just need to be quiet and let God. It's better. I'm telling you, it's so much better if He speaks and if He deals with those situations. It's better. It works out for my good and it works out for your good. And there's Bible verses that help control our thoughts in a way that God encourages us to. You know, the enemy will chase a fearful thought into our minds to stop our growth. And if our growth stops, then we're no longer being prosperous. And he'll put fear in us. But fear is just false evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's not real. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You can know the will of God for your life when you start thinking right. If you will allow Him to transform your thinking, you can know the will of God. And you know what the will of God is? It's good. It brings pleasure to God and to you. If you're in the will of God, then I'm telling you, you're happy. You are happy. And the will of God is perfect. There's not a lot of perfect in the world, but the will of God is perfect, and it is perfect for your life, and it suits your life. And isn't it wonderful to know that we can live a good life, a pleasurable life, and one that's perfect before the Lord? And it starts by thinking it right. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things." I'm going to tell you where you will not find those things. Fox News. You will not find those things on CNN. You will not find them in the Inquirer or the Star. You won't find them on MSNBC. But where you will find them is just hanging out with good people. You will find those good and pleasant things in the quiet time that you spend with the Lord. It's wonderful to just think about the goodness of God. And whenever I get to where I think, you know what, I can't just really, my mind's just overwhelmed. You know, if you were here last Sunday, how many of you were here last Sunday, Father's Day? Didn't you enjoy LaVon Young? That man was phenomenal. And by 20 minutes into it, he had justified me. I'm telling you, as a man, he justified me. I know, I do not feel bad anymore. When Lori says, "What are you thinking?" And I go, "Nothing." I am not thinking anything. And I don't feel bad about it because God made me that way. But then I think, well, if I'm not thinking anything, does that mean I'm absent-minded? No. But you know what? It's whenever I get to that place, I'm just overwhelmed. I start thinking about my family. My kids, my grandkid, my grandkids, future tense, and how good God is to be working in their lives. It's wonderful. I start thinking about my church and how much our church loves people, how much our church pours into this community, helping the homeless, taking care of the girls that do not want to abort their babies. That's great thoughts. Then I start thinking about how much our church loves the world, how much money we pour into these countries, not just the gospel, but for food and water and taking care of pastors, not only over there, but there's so many pastors that look to Abundant Life Church for leadership because they're not connected and they don't have a covering. And they look, I start thinking those things and I get, oh gosh, it's warm. And then I think about even the two homegoings we had this week. Harold had his own church. Miss Alice had her own church. But it was wonderful to see our church represented there, just loving the family. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power and self-discipline." Think about yourself as being powerful and discipline your thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." When something runs through your mind that's not right, you demolish it. If you come up and you get a bad report and it doesn't line up with the Word of God and you start having those thoughts, you demolish those thoughts. That means you destroy them. That means you crush them, you annihilate them, and then you take them and you make them captive and obedient to the word of Christ. Proverbs 3:5. Sometimes we think God puts thoughts in our minds that we can't comprehend, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding." Colossians 3:2. It says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Sometimes I think we get so down and beat up just because our mind is on everything on the earth going on around us, not realizing that we're just here for a little time and we should be more concerned about what's going on above us. All right, the third and the final thing. So we're going to speak it, we're going to think it, and the third and final thing that will guarantee us prosperity and success, continued growth, and a winning spirit is, be careful to do everything written in the Word. Whew. So you just say, do it. Do it. So we're going to speak it, think it, and then do it. Nike. There was a Nike ad. I had the t-shirt. It said, "Just do it." I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing it. Walking around with my Nike shirt on, doing it. Somebody said, "What you doing?" I'm saying, "It." You know? James 1:22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says to do." Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is alive and it's active." Active is motion, and alive equals life and growth. Can you see the word of God in motion in your life? Can you see it? Can others see it? Because I'm telling you, the Word of God is alive, then it's in motion inside of you. He lives inside of you. It's in motion inside of you. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, let me give you some great examples of doing the Word of God and see if you can apply these to your life. All right, Philippians 2:14, and we're coming to an end here. "Do everything without grumbling and arguing." I just marked that one right off my list. Not going to happen. No, do everything without grumbling and arguing. You know what I used to, it's saying do everything without grumbling. I used to find it really hard to do anything without grumbling and arguing. I would argue with the signpost. Didn't matter. I guess I just had to get my 2 cents in, but my 2 cents wasn't worth no more than 2 cents. You know? Do everything without grumbling and arguing. If we can just work on that one. I'm not talking about amongst us. In your relationships. You know? Yeah, buddy. I know, man. I heard it. I hear the silence. Mark 12. This is, like, if you can't do the first one, I don't know that we can do this one. Mark 12, 30 and 31. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. I think there was a poem that wrote, fences make good neighbors. Good thing all my kids live around me. I love my kids. I love my neighbors. Love them just like I love myself. But see, there's other neighbors too out there. And Elizabeth says they're outnumbered. They are outnumbered. With our prayer. But God says to love them like I love me. And I'm going to tell you something. I love myself. I do. You should love yourself. You should value yourself because Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. He loved you that much. So you should value yourself and increase what you think about the value of yourself. And don't be ashamed of it. I love Steve Osborne. I do. Now, that scripture says I need to love my neighbors as much as I love myself. Ooh. It's like, I don't know, God. But he is helping me. Me and my neighbor used to go out. You know what I told my neighbor one time, and he would not mind me telling you this because I love Bill. He got on my nerves so bad one time. Over a foot of property. You know. I told him I was going to start raising hogs in his backyard. Now, was that the right thing to do? No, it was not. It was not. It was not the right thing to do. But we worked through that. We did. Now, if you can love your neighbors as yourself, you're doing good. But this one gets a little bit harder because we got to do the word now. We just can't have it in us. It's no good. Matthew 5:44 says, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh my gosh. Now, how many of you want to be prosperous and successful? You know, because this is what we got to do. I'm telling you, it's not looking good as it did. Prosperous and successful. But I promise you, if you will do this, looking at the word prosperous as growing, you will grow. And if you do this, looking at the word successful as being a winner, you will win. Now, I will tell you how to love like that. You can't love them with your own love. You have to love them with the love of God. And you have to look at them through the eyes of Jesus. Because whether we like it or not, he loves us all. Even those who don't love us. He loves us all. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. That's doing the word. Proverbs 28, 27 says, whoever gives to the poor will never want. Galatians, if we can just do this one, I believe it will carry us for the rest of our life. Galatians 6, 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which takes us back to Mark 12, 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we would just bear one another's burdens. You know what that means sometimes? Just listen. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. Be an encourager. When someone's down, lift them up. Someone's hurting, help heal them. The word can heal. So, we're going to be prosperous and successful from today on for the rest of our life because we're going to speak the word of God, we're going to think the word of God, and we're going to do the word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stand up with me, please. I tell you, that would be nice. I have a declaration. We're going to close with a declaration. But before we do that, we don't ever want to leave church without anybody not having the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If He is not the Lord of your life, today is the day of your salvation. Not tomorrow. You know, I remember getting saved so many times. Lord have mercy. Most of them were emotional times. I was scared. You know what? I was more scared of going to hell. And I figured if Jesus could get me out of that, then I would be good to go. But you know, fear never held me. That didn't last. Because it's the love of God that draws man. And it's the love of God that will keep you. So if you don't know Him today, you don't have to come up here with me. All you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Two things. And you will be saved. That's God's word on it. And it's that simple. So right where you're at, you check your own heart. You check your own heart. And if it's not right, all you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you're saved. And then tell somebody. Okay? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And in this room, there are those of you who struggle with your, just struggle with yourself. And you say to yourself, I'm not good enough. Or I'm not worthy. And Steve, I've heard what you're talking about being prosperous and successful, but I just don't feel like I'm worthy enough to receive that. That is a lie from the enemy. Because you are so precious in the sight of God. And you're so wonderful. I know how much I love my kids. And God loves us so much more. So, Father, I pray right now that you would heal broken hearts. Father, that self-worth would increase in the hearts of the believers in this room. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Now, before we go, I want us to declare this together. It's found in Deuteronomy 26, 17. And it says this. Read it with me. Today, I affirm that the Lord is my God and that I will walk in His ways and I will keep His statutes, commands, and ordinances, and I will obey Him. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. God bless you today. Thank you for being here at Abundant Life, and we will see you Wednesday night for a great meal.